Broadcasting by the sea in sunny San Diego, this is the Ascended Masters at Work show, where we lift the veil of mysticism and reveal ancient secrets brought to earth by the world's greatest spiritual teachers. Here we share real-life stories that change lives and widen our eyes. And now, here is your host and spiritual life coach, Reverend Shirlene Reeves.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. I am really glad to be back with you again today. And you wouldn't believe this gorgeous view I'm sitting and looking at. Many of you don't know, but I am spending a much warmer lifestyle down in my Mexican home in San Felipe, and I look right out on the ocean. So as I'm talking to you, I can see the small waves lapping in and out. And we never get any weather here because we are on the east side of Baja. And it's strangely enough, for those who live in California, we're used to seeing the sun come up over the mountains and setting over the water. But here it rises over the water and sets over the sun, over the mountains. So it's entirely different. And the water turns these amazing colors, like this rich, rich blue, which I'm sure many of you have seen. But have you seen turquoise? And have you seen purple? It's really, really amazing. And it's a special eco area for our little vaquita. And the reason I'm telling you about this is because the people in this town, we have over 10,000 expatriates who live in San Felipe. And I'll tell you, when I come down here, I just have a blast. I listen to live bands. I go to Taco Tuesdays. I get to dance. I go listen to movies or watch movies. But this whole little fishing village is very conscientious about giving back. And I started to tell you about the little vaquita, and I want to tell you a little bit more. They're almost extinct, and many people have never even heard of them. And they're like a little tiny dolphin. They're about half the size of a dolphin, and they have one black ring around one eye. And you know, they're so shy, and they're just the sweetest little dolphins. And sometimes when you're standing in the water, you can feel them come up and nudge on the back of your calf, but they disappear so fast because they're so shy that you don't often get a chance to see them. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because everybody here is conscientious about the little vaquita. And they've even stopped the fishermen from using their nets because they were trapping the vaquita in the nets and wiping more and more of them out. Well, now the gentleman that I have on the call with me today, on the show, I should say, he is all about charity. And I listened to what he had to say with his charity. And I've had a dream for the last 10 years of bringing something special to the school system in San Felipe. And you know, all you have to do is sit down for dinner, and you instantly get volunteers for whatever it is that you would like to bring into the village. Now, the gentleman I'm talking to you about, he has, in just the last 18 years, he's helped more than 1,500 CEOs in 33 different countries. Get that. And he was born in Barcelona. So guess what? That solves my Spanish speaking problem, because they all ask me, do you speak Spanish? Can you teach this? And I said, oh, no, no. I'm bringing this gentleman who has lived in 8 different countries and speaks 5 languages fluently so that he can teach in Spanish. And he's now based in Texas with his family. So he's going to make the effort to come to San Felipe and provide CEO training for all different levels in the school system. And what he doesn't know yet is that I'm going to support him in teaching the adults. So I'm very, very excited to have him on the show, because He is a part of the Evolutionary Business Council, the EBC, and I've talked about them before and how powerful they are. And what I love about the EBC is we don't sell each other. We collaborate together to make each other's missions materialize. And that's what Angel Rebo and I are doing together here in San Felipe. He has launched a foundation called Wisdom for Kids, and he's helped hundreds of underprivileged kids in Latin America become entrepreneurs using their own local resources. Pretty cool, right? So I'm excited about bringing him here so that he can support the kids in San Felipe. And guess what they're asking me? These volunteers here that are expatriates. And I don't know if I said there's about 10,000 of them here, so we can elicit volunteers from everywhere we look. And here's what they asked me. Would he be willing to go to other cities? So, Angel, I'm going to let you answer that. Angel Rebo, and he is here to talk to us about how we can support underprivileged kids and teach them to have their own businesses. So welcome, Angel.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And the answer to your question is obviously yes. I would be willing to go to as many cities as possible. You know, there's a big coincidence here also, because I was blessed, you know, with living in Mexico for almost 10 years. And I actually, the last place I lived in Mexico was Puerto Vallarta, which is a city which is a little bit more south in the same, you know, Sea of Cortez. Mm-hmm. For me, it's a blessing that, you know, your volunteers are asking you if we could go to some other countries, or excuse me, to some other cities or villages. The answer is definitely yes. The more we can impact the lives of those kids in need, the better.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I'm excited because I'm going to get to go work in other cities with you. That'll be awesome. Absolutely. And I'm really getting better with my Spanish. But you know what? They run it together so fast. I can't get, you know, I can pick up a word now and again and kind of get the idea, but it's a lot of work to learn their Mexican Spanish.
But, you know, when you have behind, you know, your passion, your mission, and you know that you are impacting, you know, with a kid, you're impacting immediately their family, you're impacting their relatives, and then you're starting to impact also the villages. Mm-hmm. And the entire regions. So there's definitely a ripple effect. We see that all the time. And the community leaders, when we are there and we're teaching the kids entrepreneurship, they're saying, hey, you know what? These kids would have never in their entire lives, unless they went, you know, to college, they would have never received this kind of experience or knowledge. Mm-hmm. Never, ever. So they are so, so thankful and grateful for us. So I mean, although, I mean, 10,000 expatriates willing to help, only if it's a minority of them, uh-huh. It's going to be incredible. The thousands, literally, I see that already, Charlene.
Well, this is going to be fun, Angel. This is going to be fun because, you know, we're big into dune buggy type racing, like the Baja 250, the Baja 500. Yeah. Yeah, and right away, they handed me their new shirt and said, we're your volunteers. Wear this shirt on Friday, and then we're going to wear the shirts when we go to work with you with the kids.
Awesome.
Because it's a team of people that race these cars. And right away, they stepped in. But I want to tell you something interesting, and my listeners as well, about how important this is here in San Felipe and why.
Okay.
In this area, Mexico does not pay their teachers. Mm-hmm. I don't think in any area in Mexico do they get paid, but I don't know that for sure. But I do know here. So there are times when the teachers just aren't even there to teach. They'll be gone for 3 days, and that hurts the students. And so, you know, I also want to look for somebody who's going to fill in on those days that those teachers don't want to be there. And it's pretty hard to work when they don't have, when they're just volunteering. Think about it. They're only volunteering.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So there may be something, Angel, that we could think about that we could follow up with.
Absolutely.
For when those teachers are out of the classroom.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think that we have, you know, it took to us 2 years, to the founders, the other two founders and myself, to come up, let's say, with a workshop that was really impactful. So we decided, there were even two PhD students that were doing their final project on this, on how to better reach out and impact the lives and inspire the lives of kids in need. So I definitely think that, you know, this can be just one first step to extrapolate that to the normal school system, not only for entrepreneurs and for kids, which might be underprivileged, but for everybody. We definitely, mm-hmm. because you already have those expatriates, you already have the people that have the passion and the willingness to do this. Mm-hmm. So absolutely. And you know what? We have not thoroughly, you know, spoken about this, but you mentioned fun many times. So the workshops are, if there are something, they are fun. We jump, we sing, we work out, we dance. I mean, we do all sorts of, you know, weird stuff, you know, at the eyes of the adults, right, of the adults. But for the kids, they have so much fun. They always remember who we are, always, mm-hmm. all the time. So that's the kind of effect we're gonna have in your community, in the community of San Felipe and other areas that, you know, you and your volunteers can connect us with, definitely.
Mm-hmm. So for the benefit of our listeners, you and I know what we're talking about, but they don't know what this program is. And later I'm going to ask how it is that listeners can help you. So would you explain how this program works?
Absolutely. So we have basically three stages. The number one goal of our nonprofit, of our foundation, is to be able to reach in the next 3 years 810,000 kids. Okay, so 810,000 kids. And so the first stage that we are massively working on right now is to be able to reach to as many kids as possible with this. It's a 2-hour workshop, which is the starting point of our entrepreneurial career. 2-hour workshop. And we want to reach out to, you know, 810,000 kids in Latin America. Why 810,000? Because there's 81 million kids in need in Latin America. But that's just not step number one. Step number two is to involve the entire family. So we reinforce the same kind of strategies and tactics that we discussed during those 2 hours of the first workshop. We discuss them with the parents, and typically there's other siblings present. So it's really a family thing. So we make sure that the family not only understands what the kids have been through, but also, you know, buys into that wonderful, you know, adventure that we are suggesting this kid to have, which is become entrepreneur. And number three is our volunteers. We really have all sorts of volunteers that come from many different avenues, but they all have something in common. They have passion to make a difference in the world, and they really want to help kids. They really want to help kids. So the number three stage, it takes almost a year to do this, and it's to mentor, like individually, one-on-one, mentor those kids from zero, literally from where they are after having attending the first workshop and then the second workshop with the parents, to become entrepreneurs. So they go from zero to having their own business, and we mentor and coach them. The volunteers mentor and coach the kids to have their own business. So this is basically how we do it.
And so stages. How do you teach the mentors, Angel? How do the mentors know what to do to support the kids?
We have a manual, okay? So we have a manual, and we also have a lot of online training that, you know, I do and the other founders do, in which we make sure that they understand what are the values, what are the principles, what is the passion, what is the enthusiasm that we're trying to transfer. And we do that basically, yeah, we do that mostly online, mostly using webinars. But we also do that, you know, face-to-face. So, for instance, you were talking about San Felipe. So it will probably make a lot of sense, you know, to be there, to go there, and to start, you know, delivering delivering those trainings to the expatriates that are interested to be volunteers with us right there. And it's fun.
I think that would be an excellent idea. That would be an excellent idea to actually go and personally train those volunteers, because, you know, most of the volunteers in this area are in their 50s, 60s, and 70s, and they're not going to spend a lot of time on the computer.
Nice. Okay.
So, and I think that's what we're going to find in a lot of these little rural areas. So I think the more that you are present with them so that they can see that this is something real, the better off it's going to be.
I agree. And they will have fun. I mean, you mentioned many activities that you do when you go there. I was already like imagining what it's like being in San Felipe right now. This is going to be fun. People are going to talk about it. People are going to say, oh my God, I really want to do this. And where is the next village? What is the next place? Where is the next community? Let's do that massively.
And that's what they are going to do. That's exactly what they're already talking about, because they have friends in other cities. And so they'll reach out to the other cities and connect us from one city to the next. And I can already see that happening just by the questions. And also, I want to discuss with them how to get people into a rural city if they're interested in doing that. And I've had influence down here for about 8 years. And so I just sat down with people and said, what do you think about this? Or who would I contact to accomplish this goal? And of course, everybody wants to have some sort of input. I'm noticing. And then I happened to sit at dinner at Taco Tuesday, and I happened to sit right across from the editor for the newspaper, who decided she was going to put in an announcement all about this. And in fact, I think Angel's working on that article. She is going to follow the progress of what we're doing in her paper. So that will let other people know about what's going on also. And I told them I would be talking about it on the radio show. So they'll be very excited about that.
Nice. Awesome.
Yeah.
That's so exciting.
You have to, if you want to bring something like this to an area to help the kids in a small area, then just start asking around at who's willing to support it. And you'll be surprised at who will step up, because most of them don't have a whole lot to do here other than play.
Which is good. I mean, we love playing. We love having fun. We love being in motion to have fun, which is great.
Right. And they'll probably be there with the kids having fun too, because these people are all about having fun, and they're not stressed like they are in the States. It's a very different feel.
Exactly.
So
I know what you're talking about.
Have three levels of this, Angel. So talk about your levels.
Yes. So level number one, again, it's when we start talking to when we deliver a workshop to a kid in need. Typically, that's done in groups. We have three different age groups, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. So those are the three different age groups. So step number one, we inspire those kids. We have a lot of fun. We do a lot of very experiential and beautiful things with their minds and with their spirits, and obviously with their bodies. And that's the stage number one. At that stage, we identify that there are certain kids which are really like following through more, which understand it more, which are more excited about it. And then when we identify those kids, typically between 10 and 20% of the group, then we say, okay, so we would love, you know, to follow up with your parents. We would like to sit down with your parents, and we would like to tell them what we did today. And, you know, we would like to spend some time with them. Typically, it doesn't take 2 hours, but sometimes it takes much more time, which is great, which means that the parents really, really, really want to do it, really want to help their kids to become entrepreneurs, really want to teach or show their kids that there's some, you know, that there are other ways in life to be productive and to share value with other people. And then when we have done that, then we ask them, you know, would you like us to help you, to mentor you, to coach you, family and kid, for a year, so that from where you are today, we'll go with you step by step, showing you which is that, or what is that you have to do to become an entrepreneur and to actually have your own business, your own business. So that takes a year. So and our volunteers make sure that they not only monitor all this, you know, process, but also support. And I have to say that sometimes, I mean, not everybody knows everything. Not all the volunteers know everything. But what's happening today is that the volunteers, they start reaching out to these local authorities. And, you know, as exactly the same way you described it, Charlene. So they start asking questions, say, hey, where would you go? You know, and then they start grouping. Sometimes there's several kids and several families that they want to do something. And we go together with them to reach out to the authorities. And they are excited because these authorities, they never got that question before. Believe it or not, Charlene. it's a local development activity that we at the end of the day are carrying out in that particular place. It's amazing what's going on. It's really amazing. And I mean, you are all about mindfulness, Charlene, and your program is incredible.
Thank you.
You understand very well that, you know, when the universe likes expansion, likes motion. Once things start being in motion, you know, once you and I, once your volunteers, once all those actors in San Felipe and other areas in Latin America start being active and in motion, things start to happen. Things start to happen. And that's so powerful. I mean, I have goosebumps now. And I have goosebumps. No, really. I had goosebumps now before when you were explaining that. It's really that beautiful and that intense and that powerful, really.
And I agree with you, Angel. You know, for 8 years, ever since I got down here, I've wanted to do something with the kids because it's so painful to watch them try to sell little trinkets on the street. And I know they have so much more potential if they're shown the way, but they aren't given that opportunity. And I think that it could even be taken a step further and they could learn to run a business on the internet, just like I'm doing today, because they could be a CEO with an internet company and do really, really well. So, and they wouldn't even have to leave their town.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Absolutely. I agree. Yes. And, you know, if we were able to also share with them, you know, what the game of influence is about. Can you imagine?
Yes.
Can you imagine kids building and playing the game of influence from San Felipe? Oh, my God. Wow. Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Exactly. So I want to ask you a question. You know, I know you've worked with CEOs all over the world, and tell people what it is you actually do to support CEOs. And one of the things I love is that you work with the culture.
Exactly. So basically, both I have two distinct audiences or groups of clients. Number one is the entrepreneurs, established entrepreneurs. Number two is the corporate CEOs. To both of them, what I do is, or they hire me to bridge the gap for global expansion and exposure, because they tend to work very much, and we know with a lot of effort, on their backyards, in their local market. But they tend to forget that they have already developed assets. They have assets in their ventures, in their companies, that they could be using to add value to people abroad, to people in other areas. So that, and you know, going to other areas, to other countries, to run your business, you know, it has a science and it has several secrets. And that's kind of using one of your terms, the terms of your show. That's my mastery, if I may dare to say that, Charlene.
Yes, I love that you said that. That's awesome. You know, and that's part of the reason why the show is named what it is. It doesn't mean that the Ascended Masters are on this show. It means that the Ascended Masters and the universe are all around us, guiding us in the direction that we need to go. And to use a caveat for what Angel's talking about, you know, I had no intentions of moving to Mexico. I was perfectly fine in San Diego. But I got consistent messages telling me I needed to come to Mexico, and now I know why. And it was all because of the connection that I made with Angel, who wants to bring the program to this area. So it's all about the messages and the guidance that we receive in the universe. Does that make sense to you, Angel?
Oh, oh my God, absolutely. Absolutely. this is exactly, I mean, I have to say, obviously, that you are very generous with your comments, but exactly. I mean, the timing could not be perfect. I mean, we sometimes, and that's something that I learned with the CEO, sometimes we try to rush things. Mm-hmm. You know, we try to like make things happen, putting a lot of resistance to the normal path and rhythm of the things that are happening in the universe. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I have found, since I became an entrepreneur 2 years ago, I have found that actually everything has its own pace. And when I help CEOs, I find that all the time. So definitely there was a time it was meant for us to meet and to find this, you know, common place in the universe and in our hearts, in our souls, to do that together. And that's magic. I absolutely agree with what you said, Sherlyn.
Mm-hmm. And everybody I bring on this show has that kind of experience. They're guided, they're open, they're grounded, and they know exactly what they're here on Earth to do. And that's what I appreciate about them. Yeah. I don't let anybody come on without talking to them first and mm-hmm. knowing where they stand in their development, in their personal mm-hmm. development. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I have a burning question I want to ask you, and I want to know how you blended this CEO program into the world of underprivileged kids. What is it they have in common?
Mm-hmm. That's a very interesting question. And again, I will have to say that the universe showed me the way. So when I became an entrepreneur, because I wanted to spend much more time with my family and I wanted to act upon my life purpose, which is helping underprivileged kids, you know, in Latin America, you know, I, on a very natural way, I had worked with so many CEOs that I started asking them, what is that you need? What is the kind of value that I can humbly add to your life and to your company? And I asked the question, you know, what's your number one challenge? What do you think is in the place of in your heart, in your life, or in your business that you need the most help with? And I started asking a few questions. So I realized that many of those questions that they were answering to me were actually the same questions that on a very different level, the kids would need to have answered in their minds when they were going to start their businesses. I'm talking about the underprivileged kids. So suddenly I said, okay, so hey, you CEO, that you're already my client, we know each other pretty well. What do you think if you told me, you know, we recorded on a video who you are, where you come from, what's your business about, how did you become a CEO, and what has been your journey? And you know what I discovered, Sherlyn, you're not going to believe it. Most of the CEOs, they had a very difficult, hard beginning in their lives. Mm-hmm. I remember a CEO that he actually comes from India. He's lived in the US for many years already, for more than 15 years. And he runs a business of several thousands of employees, and his revenues are just hundreds of millions of dollars. And he started talking about that particular place in India where he was born, and that area and that village, and how poor and how difficult his start was, and how he managed to eventually get into a college, being supported by so many organizations, and eventually he made it, you know, to college, and he graduated, and eventually he could, you know, make it to an internship that was going to offer him the possibility to go abroad to the US. That story would so much resonate with my kids in need. So I systematically started to reach out to my CEOs and ask them, would you like to do that? Would you like to do that? Would you like to do that? And suddenly I had 4, 5, 6 different videos of different CEOs that uh-huh. wanted to help the underprivileged kids. And, you know, it was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
Wow. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. So tell me something. When you are working with a CEO to take them international, what uh-huh. does that look like?
Yeah. So initially, there's three pillars in which I base my strategy on, and you mentioned that before. Number one, I make sure that they understand that wherever they want to go, the culture is going to be different, and they have to identify those differences. Number two, if they want to go somewhere, they have to find local partners. I definitely recommend them to go anywhere in the world, but finding local partners that they can make this journey together. Mm-hmm. And number three, there's those cultural differences eventually translate onto different business drivers. So the way to do business, to run business, to conduct business in a different country is with a different culture is different. So things that work in the US, for instance, do not necessarily work in the world of business in another area. So those are the three pillars. So when I start working with the CEO, I sit down with them and I ask them, okay, so what are your assets today? And where do you think, what do you think is the area in which you would like to go and why? And then we analyze that, and we analyze if their assets, it can be info products, it can be a particular a practice, it can be physical products, it can be high-tech products. I've had healthcare products. So mm-hmm. if you wanted to go to that particular area, why would you do that? Okay, so I will do that, and then I help them understand what's the culture. I help them understand what's the size of the business of that particular industry that they want to go into in that particular area. So we start discussing already very specific things about that particular market and how I can help them based on those three pillars to start working on a strategy to internationalize their business and not leaving money on the table anymore, because this is exactly what they are doing, leaving cash on the table.
Mm, good point. Okay, so we're going to take a quick break. And we will be right back. And I have a really good question to ask Angel about what we're discussing. See you in a moment.
Thank you.
Attention, professional authors, coaches, and small business owners. What if you could increase your sales authentically without scripts or the pain of rejection? If you are a realtor, you can make more sales without the fear of being salesy. If you are an entrepreneur, you can eliminate the fear of feeling pushy, get more referrals, and add more money to your bank account with less effort. Welcome to Compel, Don't Sell, The Art of Selling with Heart, the next generation in relationship sales, brought to you by Maximize Your Wealth Now.
The reason that I took this course is because I needed to know how to market and sell in a way that doesn't make me feel bad. Compel Don't Sell totally comes from the heart and connects with people in a way that fits my style and how I would like to approach people. And it gave me the benefit of refining what I think and say about my business in a way that's professional, but still very warm and nurturing.
I invested in Shirlene's Compelled to Sell sales training program, and I just knew immediately that she was the person that I wanted to work with.
The reason I took this course is because I felt like there were a lot of new things that Shirlene had to offer that I had not experience before. That's why I took the class, because I wanted to sort of up-level my sales skills. And thank you, Shirlene, for this amazing class.
If you want to learn how to perfect your sales performance, build your bank account, and connect with more of your favorite clients, enter your contact information, and we'll show you how to use heartfelt sales to connect with more of the right prospects and significantly increase your income. Go to MaximizeYourWealthNow.com.
And welcome back, everybody. We are talking with Angel Rebo, and this is Shirlene Reeves, your host. And, we are having such an awesome conversation about and for CEOs. So if you own your own business, you are a perfect fit for this program today. And probably most of the days, because we talk about business, finance, sales, and different ways to enhance your world. So if you'd like to call in and ask a question, I'd love it if you would do that. You could call in at 888-627-6008 and ask Angel a question. So I have a question for you, Angel. Are you ready?
I am ready.
All right. So we were talking about how you work with CEOs. And one of the things that you said is to, and I think this is a really important point, is that if you want to work in a different country, you have to find local partners. How do we do that?
Exactly. So on those 33 countries that I've been working on, I really know, you know, not one, but many people, both, you know, in the business, on a business level and on a personal level. So, you know, the first thing I would say is I personally use all my network, personal and business, to help those companies find a partner. Mm-hmm. You know, throughout my career, I've been working a lot with, really with many different industries. So any sort of manufacturing or services providing company might have been of you know, might have been a client of mine. I mean, when I'm talking about industries. So that means that I have the ability to go to that country and start, you know, screening areas, regions, and different, you know, bodies and organizations of business people that I have already been in contact before. So it's not cold relationships, it's already warm relationships. I can go there and I can start screening companies, local companies, that can be the perfect partner for, in this case, my client in the US. And typically, this requires, you know, requires a little bit of trust, right? Because we're talking about a company that is not known at all in that country. And we're also talking about a company in the, you know, in the destination country that, you know, does not know anything about the, you know, my client. So what I do, and that's something that differentiates me from a lot of other people, I do most of those things face to face. So since day one, I meet face to face with my CEOs, regardless of where they are in the country. From day one, I tell them, hey, within a month, we should be on that particular market. We should be on that particular country or area. And we are going to go together. And I will already have, you know, an agenda for us so that you will be able to know exactly what is doing business in that market like. And every country is different. Businessmen, mm-hmm. CEOs tend to do business in a different way, in different places. They tend to gather in different organizations. You know, to give you an example, Rotary can be a good example in some countries. And in some countries, they are extremely, you know, active, and it's a good way to network with local corporations. But in other countries, it's not as active, and we use, you know, business, small business organizations or associations, for instance. There's industrials, what they call in Latin America, there's a lot of what they call, you know, industrials clubs, which is, you know, clubs in which owners, founders, and CEOs meet to, you know, to partner up and to discuss about, you know, business strategies. So I would say, if you told me of the three pillars, this is the number one.
Yes, that's what I thought.
Absolutely. I never recommend anybody to go to a country if they're not willing to trust someone locally. You know, and trust means going there, shaking their hands, you know, spending time with them, even with their families. Mm-hmm. Really. I mean, again, you mentioned before we are part of the Evolutionary Business Council. Face to face, you know, people to people, shaking hands, getting to know the families, getting to know, because I mean, at the end of the day, a CEO has a family. A CEO is not only a business, it's a family around him. You know, so again, I've been always extremely sensitive about developing very strong personal relationships in the world of business to have success, to develop that trust. And that trust is paramount to make sure that this internationalization, this bridging the gap for international exposure and expansion is successful.
You know, I talk about building this trust in my new book that's coming out called Selling Through Your Heart. Mm-hmm. And you know, trust is so big when it comes to building any relationships. And, you know, your word is your integrity. That's what is so important. And, you know, particularly here in San Felipe, it's such a small community and they all know each other. And if you, or I should say, if I caused a problem with one person, it won't be long before everybody knows about it. And so if you don't, I could see where if you didn't know the culture, you could get into a lot of trouble very quickly, unintentionally, right?
Absolutely. I'm glad that you can leave that. I'm glad that you can experience that, you know, easily if you don't do the right things. That's why, you know, I'm sure you're going to talk about this on your book already. But, you know, that's where integrity, where respect, where kindness, where humility, where gratitude, where acceptance, all those things are, you know, crucial to work internationally. All of those things.
Right. And so when you are thinking about reaching out internationally, I think that's why it's so important to know, because you might say something wrong by mistake or use a hand gesture you shouldn't have used. Or I know when I went to Nepal, you could never eat with your left hand, or it was kind of interesting. The rules and they gave us a rundown of the rules before we got there really, really fast. But those rules are so They're paramount to actually making a difference in your own business. You know, the other thing I wanted to ask you is, and this is kind of in a burning question, but when we want to work in other countries, what do we do when we don't speak the language? I mean, you could come and be there, but then you're going to leave. We're not going to always have you there. You know what I mean? How do you deal with that? And then I'm going to take a question from David, who's in Alberta. So if you'd answer that, we'll bring David on.
Okay. So, yes, that's a very common question. That's why, again, the local partner is so important. I've been in a lot of meetings in which the local partner, my client, let's say, you know, an American client only speaking in English, is able to have a business conversation with someone local that doesn't speak English through that local partner. And they have come into terms, they have been able to have an agreement and shake hands and close a business and close a deal. So again, it really depends on your attitude. What's your attitude? My CEOs, when they get to those meetings, they already know what those cultural differences are and what are those business practices that are going to make them successful on that meeting. That's the most important thing.
What if they're speakers and they want to get on stages?
We have to come into an agreement with the audience, obviously, with whoever is organizing the event. If the organizer of the event is willing, you know, to have a translator, you have to, you know, a system in place that is able to, you know, at the same time, a simultaneous translation of what the speaker is saying, you know, then we do it. It's a matter of, I mean, again, you know, most of these, at least in Latin America, obviously, we're talking about systems which are very, very cheap compared to what, you know, what we have to pay here in the US. But again, if the message is strong enough, we are talking about the speaker, which has a message, and the local organizers, the guys that are really want to get this message across, really want that to happen, really want their audience to listen to that message, they would put that system in place and that would happen. That will indeed happen.
Awesome. Okay, I'm going to talk to you later, but I want to get David on the line here. He's been patiently waiting. Let's see what David has to ask. Hi, David. Welcome.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
We hear you perfectly.
Oh, wonderful. Thanks for having me. I'm only getting in right now, so I haven't heard all the questions that have been asked. And I didn't want to ask a question that's already been asked.
Why don't you give it a go?
Well, I'm curious if right now I'm living in Alberta, Canada, and I've just traveled abroad to the States, and it's been wonderful, and I've met two or three people that are interested in doing some work with me. And I'm just struggling to get an idea of how do I bridge this gap. I'm so used to one-on-ones and meeting people face-to-face and reading their body language and, you know, recognizing whether they're paying attention, whether they're distracted, are they on the phone, this, that. But now that I'm possibly shifting to remote access and having to deal with people only on the phone, I'm really nervous about how to do that and wondering what advice, Angel, you could lend to helping me do that better.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you, David. So, well, that's obviously a very, very interesting question. Many of my entrepreneurial clients, they have practices, they have coaching practices, and they're willing to expand their practices to other countries. In this case, language, you know, as you said, language itself is not a problem. The issue is how do you make yourself comfortable with the language that you don't see, let's say with the body language. So there's two ways I deal with that. When you want to do that from the distance, you have to start developing a different way of, if it's a coaching practice that you have, David, or if it's a teaching practice, you would have to put that in the forefront of your strategy. You would have to say, I'm very humble, I'm very open, and saying, hey, I'm being already very successful locally. I want to do that internationally, and I want to make sure that my message gets across. So number one, be humble. Position yourself in a way that, you know, whatever it is that you're not saying or you're not seeing, excuse me, you know, it can be solved through this, you know, this humility that you're putting in the conversation. And number two, there's clients, again, I'm just assuming that you know, you have a practice which is a service that you are providing. I would definitely like to suggest to you that you have to make at least one face-to-face contact with that person. You mentioned that you come to the U.S. often. I would definitely use all those opportunities that you have when you come to the U.S. for events or for clients. I would definitely, you know, focus my lead generation efforts for your clients, for your company, in the areas in which you're already going, and make all the efforts that you can to meet with these people face to face at least one time. Because something that I have also discovered is we physically are very powerful. So if you are able to show your client how powerful you are face to face at least one time, that's something that I would definitely do it. So summarizing, make sure you say that, you know, ahead of time, that's something that it concerns you, so your client, your potential client, is aware of it. Number two, you know, try to generate business in the places that you are already going for other reasons. And number three, make the most of that first face-to-face, encounter with that particular person. Does that make sense, David?
Well, you know, it's very helpful. If it works, I'd ask one more question that would just add to that. Do we have time for that?
Yeah, we do have time. I just want to say one other thing, David, if I may add a caveat here. I have people all over the U.S. that attend my courses, and I do them on Zoom. I meet a lot of people on Zoom, or if I want to meet someone and I've already met them face to face, I'll say, hey, let's have tea on Zoom. And then we talk on Zoom for the next, that way you can see whether they're paying attention. If they, you know, you can watch their body language.
That's great. And I heard that Zoom, it's already recorded too, so I can listen to it afterwards.
Yes. It's not already recorded. You have to record it. So,
oh, you do. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
It doesn't.
Okay. Well, my second question.
And you had
question,
another question.
Yeah. What I was thinking about is, so just in my experience and with my last two clients, one of them has a fairly substantial level of income. I didn't know that when we started, and I've charged him much less than I could have. And another person, once again, I didn't know what kind of income they were doing, and I'm charging them much more than they can afford. Is there a good strategy that you have in how you ascertain what the fee should be for people? And the only reason I ask that is I find that if the person isn't paying enough money for them to care, they just don't do the work. So that number has to be a decent proportion, but how do I find out what that proportion is?
I think the easy answer is it's proportionate to the value that you provide them with, right? So I think that you have to be extremely consistent and solid with your sales strategy and with your marketing strategy. I wouldn't change, what I charge. What I do though, I decide on what is my fee depending on basically what's the value I provide. What's the value, real value for the real business or the real lives of the people, of the CEOs I'm helping. And again, it's the same for every single CEO. Besides that, if there's someone that needs my help, I have a small, very, very small group of CEOs that, for some reason, they got into a very, very difficult time in their lives, for any reason. Sometimes, and I think that we all have done, at some moment in our lives, I help them genuinely, and I do it pro bono, because, I'm a human being. So sometimes I have to do that, and I do it, just because my heart tells me to do that. But, again, I wouldn't decide on what my fees are depending on who I am helping, consulting for, or coaching. It depends really on the value that you provide them with.
Awesome. Thank you, Angel. Thank you for answering David's question. And thank I would you. Love to move on to Carol. She's been waiting a long time because this show's already coming to an end. I can't believe it. So, Carol, are you there?
Hi. Can you hear me?
Hi. Welcome to the show. All right. I'm glad you're here with us.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Hello, Angelo. This is very interesting. I never thought about what you're doing is going in and helping CEOs in each country. And Charlene, I thought maybe one of the things that, of course, popped into my mind, given that my background is in helping CEOs understand who's on their team and working to get a balance on the people they do work with. Because if you know who you are and then you know who your team is made up of in terms of the qualities that they're bringing to do the task that your company is doing. My question is, what do you do to get alignment in the teams? Do you have any tools? And if not, is there a room for what we've brought into Charlene's Compel class, which is the DISC personal style profiles that help people understand themselves and each other? And you were talking earlier about getting buy-in from the rest of the people and the volunteers groups and having people really love and appreciate who's on the team. I'm thinking that this could be a really great asset that you could bring in your work because it's in different languages. We can do the profile in Spanish and different languages. But what are you already doing, to get to know them? Because that's a huge part.
I
great,
agree.
Carol. Thank you for asking that.
Absolutely. Carol, thank you very much. It's a very interesting question because actually, the number one challenge that the CEOs face consistently every time I run a survey is their team. So imagine when I'm working with CEOs internationally, and obviously they have a team that goes with them internationally. The team is a question, right? Or is an issue or is a concern that comes up all the time. So that's what I think. This is what I think. So I think that there's the right energy level for the right job. That's what I think, okay? So I think that it's a matter of knowing exactly what's the right energy level of everybody for every single position. I think that every position can be matched with a pretty accurate person at the right energy level. And every single person has a different energy level. So not everybody feels excited about doing a particular job. And, you definitely, I mean, after what you said, I'm sure that you've met this thousands of times. How do you make sure that, you know, there's a match between what someone really wants and loves and has passion to do, and what he's currently doing on a particular corporation? So the way I do that, I'm using a tool which is the Core Value Index, and that helps me a lot. It's a very simple test. Yeah. I use that very simple test, and obviously there's a theory behind it, and I like it a lot, just because it's simple, and because it's very easy to understand, and the concept of energy level or energy levels is also very easy to understand for the people from a conceptual perspective. There's a lot of people using the same concept or the same tool, but that's what I'm using today. And you know, I'm happy with it, but obviously, you know, I still haven't helped anybody to internationalize their way of helping teams international, and that's a very interesting question, Shirlene.
We can talk about that.
Absolutely.
Well, Carol, thank you for asking that question. It opened up a whole new idea for a show.
That's right. Well, I think of my own starting of my business, and I brought in my two best girlfriends because we all wanted to kind of do the same thing. But we were all one style. We were all the same style, because usually styles that similar like each other and like to work together. But, you know, we all wanted to be in front of the room speaking, but nobody wanted to collect the money and keep track of the participants. And, you know, we had a need for more than just people that were enthusiastic about the business.
Right.
So that's why, I mean, it is, you know, getting the right person in the right job, and it is about energy, life energy. So that'll be an interesting thing. I'm sure Shirlene can share much more with you as you develop it, but she knows what I do, and I just commend you for your work and going in. That's a huge undertaking. I'm blown away by what you're doing.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Uh-huh. No, thank you. Thank you very much, and thank you for taking the time to speak with me today. Absolutely. Thank you very much.
So, Angel, we only have just a couple of minutes left, and I wondered if you had any final thoughts to share with us, maybe a do today that they could take away and think about doing.
Absolutely. So I'm going to go back to the idea of expansion. If you talk to any cosmologist, they will tell you that the universe is expanding. So when someone says that the only way for businesses and for lives to go is to expand and to grow, that's absolutely true. Absolutely true. That's why when you start moving, when you start putting motion onto your business and into your life, things start to happen. So, you know, I'm very, very blessed that I have been able to work with so many CEOs for so many years. But my real, real, real life purpose is to help all those kids to become entrepreneurs, because it's bringing all that power, all that motion onto the, you know, the kids, which is our future. And I definitely want them to have a much better future together with their families. So
awesome.
Thank you.
Well, Angel, I want to thank you so much for being with us today, and to tell you that I can't wait to update our audience on what's going on with the kids down here. And I wish you all the best, and that you do very, very well. And if anybody needs this kind of support, I want to have you text Angel at 469-412-6335. That's 469-4. Is that wrong?
Yes, excuse me. It's 469-412-6355.
I'm sorry. Okay, so 6355 is the end. Okay, perfect. So if you want to become a CEO that's recognized in other countries, or if you would like to help kids in outlying indigent areas, Angel is your guy. And I'm so delighted that he was on here to share all of this with you, because this is really exciting, and I can't wait to see how it all blossoms here in San Felipe, Baja, Mexico. So next week, we are going to have Jim Conley on the show, who's a phenomenal business expert, and I think you'll really enjoy it. I'm certainly looking forward to it, and I hope that you're watching for my book, Selling Through Your Heart, Empowering You to Build Relationships for Financial Freedom. So I look forward to seeing you next week. Have a wonderful week yourself, and I'll say adios.
Thank you for joining us on the Ascended Masters at Work show with spiritual life coach, Reverend Shirlene Reeves. We hope you found our message enlightening in a way that will change your everyday interactions in work and play. Share the love. Pass on our web address, ascendedmastersatwork.com. And if you have a great story to share, we'd love to have you on the show. This has been a Massive Visibility Media production. Join us next week for the Ascended Masters at Work show. And while remembering the words of the late Wayne Dyer, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. We say namaste.